Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Tuesday, the 22nd of March. Hope you're well. Right, obviously, my plan to do Mindset Mondays, it got derailed yesterday. Just something I couldn't avoid that I had to attend to, unfortunately, personally. So that just took me out of action yesterday. So I was going to do Mindset Monday today, but I've also resuming the guest pods, and I've had to jiggle them about, but I've done the guest pod this morning with FTS member Gary Tickner, and I'm going to let you listen to that today, and then I will do my Mindset Monday, because some of what Gary does, I'm going to now go back and revisit that and fit into the Mindset pod. I've just got some, just speaking to him, just some bits that I think I can explain a bit better. So I'll post that out tomorrow. So got Gary coming up in a minute. Again, another one I didn't know anything about, Gary. I've recorded it, so I'll just add it on the end here. But fascinating. Thank him for coming on. But absolutely, you know, fascinating for me. Normal punter, that's all. This isn't Peter Webb or Andy Richmond type. This is just a guy who is a normal, what I would say probably is the core of most people trying to do this. Just a normal punter who has turned his focus to it. But we'll get to that in a minute. We can't go, can we, without covering the weekend football. North London 6, Claret and Blues 0. Got to start. Well, I'm going to start with the Villa. I mean, you go in our Telegram, my Twitter, and Gerrard come in. Gerrard Ball, he should be England manager. Obviously, and I don't think, and I've said it categorically, I think Arsenal will get top four. I think they're nailed on for it. I think Arsenal are playing pretty solid football at the minute, and Tottenham are tombola. I think this result Sunday's probably seen West Ham out of it, and we haven't got a clue what United can turn up and do. But obviously, as a Spurs fan, you never give up hope. You think if we can get a couple of wins and Arsenal slip up. So I did think Arsenal away to Villa may be a tricky game. So Arsenal took the lead. I wasn't watching 1-0, but I then thought I'll watch. I don't even know what time they took the lead. I thought I'll watch the last half hour here, obviously in hope that the Villa nick a goal. And I don't know what you've been watching, Villa fans. I don't know. I think I've watched you, other than against Tottenham when you weren't very good, twice. One was against Everton. I watched the second half, I think it was Everton, when you did win the game, but Everton were absolutely all over you, and Everton are garbage. And I don't even know what that was I watched on Saturday. You were absolutely appalling. I didn't think Arsenal played fantastic, organised, got good shape behind the ball, but Villa, I'd be worried if it was me. I don't know. Some of you are going to blame the players there. I'd say the manager. What? Nothing. It just offered nothing for me. I think it was. I didn't see a shot. There was something at the end. People telling me Coutinho's great. I think the whole game got summed up by, you know, last 5-10 minutes when you think, right, they're really going to have a go. You made a couple of subs. Coutinho played a ball out to the left, went straight out for a throw-in. And then later in the game, he's played a ball down to Matty Cash out the right, went straight out for a corner, for a goal kick. And I'm just sitting thinking, who would I rather have there? Would I rather have Christian Eriksen that Brentford have picked up for nothing, or Coutinho? And I'd have Eriksen all day long. I know he's got you a couple of goals, and admittedly, I haven't watched a lot of your football, but I thought you were absolutely atrocious on Saturday. Just say as I see it, and it's not a dig. I just, you know, there's a great thing to get excited, and when you talk about should be England manager, and I think Villa have spent a few quid, you know, they've got money in the owners behind them, but that was desperate, absolutely desperate. What I watched, as I say, I didn't think Arsenal were fantastic, just organised, and I do think they'll get the top four spot through that organisation. You know, it's an interesting topic. I think Simon Dennis retweeted something from Numbnuts Piers Morgan. The question I'll ask Simon is why you're following him, but about Aubameyang going, and he said, oh, Aubameyang's back because he's scoring at Barcelona. Without doubt, Arteta getting rid of Aubameyang and Ozil, has improved Arsenal. The team spirit. There was obviously something on when you're paying these guys £350,000 a week. It obviously was affecting the dynamics of that club. Nobody said he was a good player, but I do think his time is done at Arsenal, and look how much better they've got since he dropped him and moved him on. Something Spurs could have learned from with people like Danny Rose rather than holding them for 3-4 years. But then we went to the old Sunday game, and you'd think they're having their best ever season. We've got to remember that they're having their best ever season. They keep telling you that they're having their best ever season, the old Hammers. I'm not going to lie, I was nervous, but I think this sums up West Ham fans on Twitter. Tottenham fans, I've just booked my tickets for our quarter-final Europa League game against Lyon. What about you? Are you jumping up and down at a quarter-final, son? We've been to a Champions League final. We've played the biggest teams in Europe. Real Madrid beat them. Been out there, got a draw. Barcelona got a draw. Dortmund, Atletico, we've played them all. And you're jumping up and down celebrating a quarter final there. It's fantastic for you, lovely. Hope you get to the final personally. And I'll explain why another day. But just this, we're massive, Tottenham. Well, West Ham are massive. You came and you got a sound thumping. Never in the game. You were never in the game, even when you got your goal. Very often I go very nervous in those games, but even when you got your goal, I thought we'll still win this. Suggsy actually predicted the score. He said this will end 3-1. Fair play to him. Antonio, terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I look at it and I get a lot of shit because I said, and I probably will get a lot of shit from this pod. I said, I don't think that Declan Rice... And I understand West Ham fans jumping up and down. And Spurs fans did it with Harry Winks, remember, going back in the years. And I always think with these things, it's best just to see how things play out. I looked at that West Ham outfit on Sunday. And the biggest asset West Ham have got is the one they didn't want. And that's the manager. None of you wanted the manager. When he came back, oh, fucking Moyes again, blah, blah, blah. I think David Moyes, a fantastic manager, knows the game inside out, knows the Premier League inside out. Look at where Everton are since he's left, you know, on the brink of relegation. Don't think he was given long enough at United in what was always going to be an impossible job. But you look at clubs, you look at the clubs doing well, you know, even Tottenham's best period, whilst I had my faults with Pochettino and still have, the most stable we were when we had the same manager for 5 years. When you keep chopping and changing, Arsenal now, given Arteta this period, when you keep chopping and changing, David Moyes will always have West Ham playing good, solid football, irrespective of the 11 players he's got, because he's a good manager and he knows how to set a team up and he knows what to do, and he's the biggest asset. When I looked at that team, I'm thinking, and I always used to do this with Spurs, when particularly when Arsenal had were dominating us completely. Arsenal used to turn up and I used to look at our Spurs team and go, which one of our team would get into that team? And I'd never could put a player in it. Now I look and go, you know, Lloris could probably get in most of the top four teams. Kane would certainly get in the top four teams. Son maybe would get in the top four teams. Still not enough, but we've got a few. I looked at that Arsenal team, West Ham team, I thought, who would you want? Flapianski, absolutely not. Any of the back four, Dawson, Cresswell, no, not for me. Antonio, definitely not. I thought he's just terrible. And I looked at it and thought, what he's got, he's actually got some pretty average players just playing really well, and they have done well. 7th, 8th is probably is a good finish for West Ham. I don't mean that patronisingly. I do genuinely think he is. I think he's had them overperforming for a couple of years. But the one player it comes down to is Declan Rice. And I understand West Ham fan. A lot of the racing guys are West Ham fan. Declan Rice is brilliant. I watch him. I don't think he is. I honestly don't think he is. I don't think he's crap. But I think he's a good player in a pretty average side. An average side that's playing well and overperforming. But he's a good... You'll know about Declan Rice if he does move to a big club and you see him playing in the big league. Whether he grabs a game by the bollocks, because Benton Kerr absolutely owned him at the weekend. And, you know, somebody said to me, oh, what about the goal he scored in the FA Cup when we were nearly out? It's against a non-league team. Man up. I'm not saying he's crap, but I don't think he's the superstar that people think he is. You know, very few players have I watched in the league over the last few years in what I would say not the top teams and thought he's the man. And the only one really, and he, I'd stand out, he's won everything in the game, was when Kante was at Leicester. And I just thought he was absolutely fantastic footballer. But yeah, and then, yeah, I mean, I love it. The old West Ham get battered. I got rice in pocket. That's what Benton Kerr was singing. I got rice in pocket. But, and Johnny H put on old Son cheats. Yeah, he did. He did. But don't pretend that there's not a team in the league where players don't cheat. They all do it. They all cheat. I've said this numerous times. Go back and go on Twitter and search Antonio Elbow. He just goes up and elbows Eric Deer in the face after the ball's gone. Probably out of frustration because he's not doing anything. But they all do it. I'm not defending Son. It's disgraceful. But this moral thing that our team doesn't cheat and they do is absolute nonsense. They all cheat. The game is absolutely horrific. I watched the last 20 minutes of Ireland-Scotland rugby on, was it Saturday evening? I just love watching it for the referee. And there's a Scottish guy's tackled the Irish bloke in the air for a penalty, like the Irish guy's jumped up and caught the ball and he's tackled in midair. You just get the clarity of why the decision was made. No arguments. You just watch that and I struggle to understand any rationale for not having it in football. All this, it's a culture thing and it wouldn't. We need some accountability to stop these players cheating because that's what they do. But don't come with this moral that my team don't do it and they do and he's a cheat. They all do it. Every single team tries to nick an advantage by cheating, grabbing players in the box, feigning penalties, rolling around the floor like they've been shot when they got tackled. They all do it. And it's just another erosion over the last 20 years of what used to be, for me, a fantastic game has become something that I can take it or leave it now. But you came into our backyard is the bottom line and we gave you a right good spanking. Right, that's it. What else have I got? Did I have anything else? No, as I say, I'll do another pod tomorrow with the mindset stuff. I'm just going to edit that about. Obviously, we're in quiet time football-wise. Pretty much haven't got anything. You know, there's some League One, some Segunda coming up, but nothing of massive interest for me. Manchester at the weekend. See some of you up there. I've just got loads of things going on at home. I'm in the middle of a planning dispute. I've got second grandchild on the way in Malta and all that's bringing with it. I've got I've been asked to mediate a golf club dispute. That was only yesterday, so we'll see what happens there. So yeah, just a lot of things going on outside FTS at the minute, but we're work hard and get FTS sorted. We got lots of plans coming forward, but yes, let's get this international break out of the way, get Manchester out of the way, and I will be back with you tomorrow for the mindset one. But here I'm going to leave you with Gary Tickner for the pod. Got Andy Marnell coming on next week, and then I've got a couple of other guys that I just need to speak to and get lined up. So hopefully, you know, we've got a good few weeks of guest pods as well now to add in that I think are always worthwhile. And as I say, listening to this one with Gary, I think it'll be a really good for the normal punter. I think, you know, there's so much focus on people who only win, and as I've said in the other ones, people who want to create this persona. I'm just speaking here, and you're listening to a normal guy who's been a loser, and as an event in his life led to a change in focus. And it's absolutely brilliant, but I'll let you guys be the listener of it. As always, feedback would be greatly appreciated, because, you know, feedback to Gary that he knows he hasn't wasted his time, feedback to me that is this the sort of thing we want to listen to, or am I wasting my time? Right, okay, I'll speak to you all later. All right, good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip. And we are back to having guest pods. And the first one of 2022 is fairly long-standing FTS member, Gary Tickner. He's been in and around the FTS community a while. I've never spoken to Gary. This is the first time we're going to speak. And we're just going to talk about Gary's gambling journey and where he's been and hopefully where he's heading. So firstly, morning, Gary. How are you? Hope you're well.
Yeah, morning. Morning, Ian. Morning, all. Hope everyone's okay.
Yeah, it's been a tough couple of years, hasn't it?
Tough isn't the word, really.
No. Has it been a struggle for you, COVID?
Yeah. Hasn't been too bad until, like I said, you know that I've had a heart operation that I collapsed completely in August sort of thing. Mm. I've had operation at Papworth and everything. I'm still not working. Whether I'll go back to work, I don't know.
What did you do? What was your work?
Over my career, over the years, I started off in the food industry and I spent a long while in the food industry and then got made redundant when I was 50. So I set my own business up. I've done that for 4 years, which was part success. But then Lidl's and Tesco's, there they are. Lidl's expanded twice the size. Tesco's opened a one-stop shop on the corner. And I lost 800% of my trade in my shop. So wow. I did decide to close it. Wow. And then I went back to bar work, what I used to do when I was very young. And I ended up as a manager of a hotel before I collapsed. So I was manager of the hotel, bar and restaurant.
Wow. And just going on your collapse, obviously tragic and fantastic to see you sat here. Now you emailed me and said that you were having ops and things. What was it, just off the cuff? Is it hereditary or just stress?
Heart disease ran in my family on both sides, but it's just completely out of the blue. I just cooked my dinner, getting ready to have my dinner before getting ready for work, and I just completely collapsed there and then.
Bloody hell.
I knew something was wrong. I managed to call the sort of ambulance, but by the time the ambulance got here, they found me with no pulse and everything.
Wow.
So Christ. Obviously, it's blues and twos and all that sort of thing, but touch wood now. I've had the operation and I've had my 3 month checkup and it's going very well.
Well, fantastic. It's fantastic to see you here. That's that's how fragile life is. It's just fantastic to have you on here. Right. So when did you first get involved with FTS?
FTS, I was trying to really look back at some old times. I joined Portal in 2012, so I've got a feeling about 3 years before that, I've come across you through, I'm sure he's another FTS member, John Woods, I think you know him. We used to work together a long while, and come across you on there, and I'm sure I started off when you used to do JG Horses.
Yeah.
I've done a bit of that, and then obviously we've done all the different football things going forward to where we are now. But
and how before that, what were you a punter before that?
What happened when I was young, we used to I did play sport, but when you weren't playing sport, we used to go to the pub in the afternoon on a Saturday. And in them days, we used to have a pint, whip over the road to the bookies for an hour, as you do, all on the radios, and just go through all the races, and we used to have a bet on every race for that hour, whip back for another pint, and it's just started like that. It's only really casual betting. And then I've got into going horse racing as well. My local track, Huntington's, just 20 mile away sort of thing. So I've been there a fair few times, travel around, Goodwood Festival and that, because my cousin, she was married to a head stable lad, so I used to get a bit of info there and get into one or two courses free when he was there, sort of thing.
Oh, nice. And so out of the sports, I'm not telling you where to go, because I think horse racing is an absolute minefield. I've been talking to Andy Richmond today about that exact thing. What's your preference? If you could say, I want to bet and make some money, would you rather be a horse racing or would you rather be football?
I do football. I did do the horse racing to start with when we had the thing. I did join up with it, but I really struggled with it with my work.
Yeah.
So I completely ditched that.
Yeah.
And it's only sort of now that I'm getting into football, now I'm not working, I find it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Where I was working and doing the football, it was an absolute nightmare for me.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, that, you know, people can learn from just what you're saying. It is really interesting because one of the sort of things we're looking to get FTS more towards helping people like you, but tuition rather than just giving tips. Actually, how can we help you become better at this game? And the more I talk to people like Andy Richmond and that, horses is so difficult every single day, very time consuming, and people know next to nothing about it and think that they can get up in the morning and bet on horses and make money. I find it absolutely mad unless you've had. And football, similarly, while it's not on every single day, the program has changed completely. But it's a bit different that everybody has an opinion on football. So you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite team?
No, not really. I just like any football sort of thing. I can watch anybody if it's on the telly. I don't really follow a team.
We'll get you hooked up to Tottenham, Gary. Don't worry. We'll get you hooked.
I don't think so.
But everybody saw it. People have a favourite team and they'll beat them. So they're really, really different disciplines, really different. And people almost sort of merge everything together and go, I'll do that. I think as part of that education, just listening to you there, you've now got a bit of time. Focus on one thing. Football, right? How can I actually be better at it? What help do I need? What, even in football, what am I going to do? Am I going to do trading, betting? Am I going to do match odds, gold markets? What is it I'm going to do? And I think once we start to plot paths for people like that, and that's where we're kind of heading, I think it'll be a massive asset to people. But this thought that you can do everything and just dabble your toes in and make money is it's folly. It's just no chance. So what's your, and you can be as honest or as keep to yourself, what's your punting history been like? Has it been a car crash? Has it been a disaster? Has it been good, up and down?
I haven't really shown a profit. I've only really concentrated the last 2 years seriously, but I used to dabble a bit and do a bit of this and a bit of that and join, like, since your pod, I've joined everything and then found I can't do it with work. So since your pods have come about and going on your pods, I've ditched all the horses. I've ditched all my social sort of ad hoc bets.
Yeah.
And it has scaled my losses right down. So I was just doing my fixed betting. I even ditched the trading because I was trading while I was trying to work.
Yeah.
And trying to do it on the move. Yeah. I was missing bets. Yeah. I couldn't cash up at the right time. It's costing me. So I ditched everything. I had a 2-year break, even from FTS, from when it used to be Sapphire and all that.
Yeah.
I had a couple of years break, regrouped, saved some money up, then started again. And then I've just done a bit of fixed betting.
Yeah.
But even that, to start with, I was still having a problem with work of trying to fit it all in a hotel, running it, and the pub, obviously, it's long hours. All the hours are at weekend when it's football. We're trying to sort it. So my systems I've got, I've built 10 little micro systems up, and I set the bank up, like we said, since 2 years ago. But before that, I used to do it ad hoc.
Yeah.
I didn't record keep. But since 2018, August 2018, I've got every bet, I've got every month. So I've pinpointed it all down and I can see where all my problems have arisen and where we need to go now to go forward. Since I emailed you with my heart trouble and I was struggling and all that, I've modified one or two of my systems, dumped some of them because I was doing too much altogether.
Yeah.
But I was also duplicating a lot of bets.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all right on an odd win, but you get more losers than winners sometimes when you're struggling. And then some of my losses were getting big. So I've streamlined it. I've still got a long way to go because I've streamlined some of it halfway through the season.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to ditch it all at once in case I get a good run. So I've ditched some of my duplicate stuff. And like where I back home and lay the draw, where I used to put the same amount of money on each, I now only put half my point on the back home and my point on lay the draw. So if it's an away team win sort of thing, I'm still winning
half a point. Yeah.
Half a point. Mm. So that way, to try and stabilize my losses sort of thing, and try and stabilize so I don't fluctuate too much.
Yeah.
So
and have you found that firstly performance better, but mentally better?
Yeah, mentally better. I never really had much problem with it. I suppose I'm a bit lucky in my younger days, Ian. I've had a well-paid job. My house was paid off for. So I was one of these, which the worst thing you should do, I could just chuck 500 quid here if I run out of money in my betting account. Mm. It was quite easy because I had so much, not too much money, I'm sort of thing, but I'm well off that I could afford to chuck the odd £400 or £500 to top my betting account,
yeah,
which is what I used to do in the old days.
Yeah.
But obviously now I haven't worked since August. I don't sign on or nothing. So I've got no income coming in at all. So I'm now living off my savings, which now has made me really focused because I can't afford to throw the odd £400 or £500 out every month to it.
Mm.
So I've now sort of fixed my betting to the betting bank. I don't deviate. I've trimmed right down. Since I spoke to you in November, I have more or less nearly doubled my bank.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is, for me, which is tremendous. I now think, buddy, if I'd done all this them years ago with what you'd been saying, how good. But I can see where I've come from November to now. I've made great strides. But I've got the next hurdle to come to get it even better because I need to earn a little bit to live off.
Yeah, I get that. But you got one. I mean, I didn't know, you know, people listen to this and I always get different. Oh, he knew that he's got a bloke on who's doubled his bank. I had no idea of that. So firstly, fantastic. That is absolutely brilliant. I'm over the moon for you. But so much to pick up, you know, for people just from what you said. You're an ad hoc punter throwing 400 or 500. This is what all these guys listening today, this is what they'll have done and be doing and still doing. And obviously your circumstances from, you know, thankfully coming through a horrendous experience with your heart to that getting you to focus. And then you've sat down and focused. Exactly. What do most people do on Ultimate? They do too many systems, try and do too much, click away all this green to trim all that back to removing duplicates, because mentally, why do you want to have three? Yeah, you might have three winners, but three losers. What's the just don't need to do it. So looking at that setup so you don't get a load of games all coming up on the same thing. To then sit down there from November to what are we, March, and double a bank is absolutely, it's fantastic and shows what you can do. And if you can do it, to answer your sort of own doubts, if you like, go to the next step. If you can do it for 3-4 months, Gary, you can do it for a year, you can do it for 5 years. You've just got to keep doing it and accept at some time in there will be bumps in the road. One of my systems in the last month been absolutely rock solid. It had won from November 2020 to February. It had won, got up to 300 points. It kept getting to sort of close to 300 and then dropping back down. And then it finally went over 300 points. Now, when I knew it'd get there, literally the next week, it lost 37 points in a week. Never, ever done that. And it never, ever seen anything like it. And that's when you look and go, Jesus Christ, what's gone on there? But it's part of what we do. And once you learn to accept that, which will be one of the next steps for you, that it won't all be sunshine. Just sounds brilliant listening to you. All the stuff, I've trimmed it back, removed duplicates, set myself up, and that leads to doubling a bank. Without doubt, you can do it.
Yeah. The things, the bits I'm now going to concentrate on now is obviously I've got Power Builder and everything that helps. So I've got the tools there and everything. So for an example, so your listeners there, for alternate leads, last season, I just do the bets on the Friday, set them at them prices, and just do them at them prices. Last season, I had 38 bets that didn't match, which cost me 32 points. Now, this season, I've kept a record of it because I thought, well, that's a fair chunk that would have broke me from a little loss to breaking even. This year, I have, so far, I've had 63 bets that have not matched on the Friday morning prices, and that has cost me 28 points. I'm running at a 53-point loss on my alternate leagues at the moment, so that would have halved my losses. So going forward, that's the next bit I'm there going to look at, to convert all my systems to 5-minute prices to see if what I do on the 5 o'clock still make a profit at 5-minute prices, and sort of combine the two then to do that, which I'm going to work on. I've been gathering the information the rest of this season. I know where I'm going to work on. Once season's finished, going back in there and just working through, dumping one or two bits, and then just streamline there. But that's just an example for you viewers who don't really, listeners who don't really keep an eye on it, of where you, of the recording of the results make the difference. Because like I said, I never used to record them all them years ago, but since I have, it's these little things where you can...
Exactly, that highlights where you can now look at that, exactly as you say, and you may well find, I think you probably will, that betting at 5 minutes solves that problem for you. It might not win you 32 points, it might only win you 24, but rather than just missing out and losing them, it'll be 24 points profit that you can increase your, you know, and you start tweaking and adding bits like that overall to your bottom line. It makes a massive difference. It makes Gary, absolutely, I'm loving this. It's absolutely brilliant listening to you. I mean, you are what I would call...
Come on here, because there must be, Ian, you've got hundreds listen. I'm on Telegram, but I never speak, but I listen to what people say on Telegram. I read the comments. I'm just one of these. I do it all in the background sort of thing. There must be hundreds of people like me don't own up to it. You know, there's very few make money in this. So I've really come on here to try and help some of them to do what you've been preaching over the years to us all.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I just listening to you, I would say of the people who are members of Ultimate, 100 odd people, it's probably more like you than aren't like you. But you don't hear from them and that. And if I was at that level now, just a normal punter, you know, who've done all the things you do, ad hoc punts. And I did that going back 20 years. You know, I think everybody got into it some way like that. I know a lot of guys came from match betting and then wanted to move on. But if you had an interest in punting, we've all made massive mistakes. We've all done banks. You know, anybody who says they haven't is telling lies. We've all at the time over the going back. But to actually listen to somebody like you and just say, actually, all I decided to do was cut that out and sit and try and do it properly. And you could have sat here and said, I've tried to do it properly and I've lost.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were going to say, but you said, I've tried to do it properly. It just, I think exactly the message you just said, should give guys listening to this hope to move it forward and actually say, right. And I want to take it further. See, this is where I get interested in people, because the next two phases of that is, how do we get that process that you've done to other people? What's the easiest way for us to do it? And then how can I help you further to take it to the next level? So it becomes two elements. So what I've got many flaws, Gary, I don't sit here as anything. What could I do better to help you forward?
Really, I think a lot of it's done. How you come over on the pods and everything on there, where you keep reiterating what we as punters need to do, that's what's really motivated me to sort this out. And it's got to be in your head. Like you said, you've got to do it yourself. You've got to want to do it. You've got to put the work in. I spend there 20 hours a week with my football. All right, I'm lucky I don't work because I can't at the moment. I don't have bots for anything. I do everything on two laptops. I pinch the wife's laptop. So if I'm struggling, trying to, because what I have done, I only done thinking, but 2 months ago, I started going back to trading.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm sitting at the computer now and I fit it in the weekends. That's what I do. I get a break. I've got all my games planned out. They're all sorted out. So I don't deviate from them. I've got my plans, everything. Just for an example, since I started trading, I've had 176 trade bets. Out of them, only 17 I've lost.
Good. Brilliant.
I'm not one of these. Where I trade, I do it, but I'm not one of these to stem my losses. I've been doing trade in the draw. If they're nil-nils, I still go for the full whack to the last minute.
Right.
And chance it. Now, I've had a lot of turnaround at the last minute with that odd goal going in, which smooths it out. But all I've just said to people is, if you've got your bank right, like you've been saying over the years, it's not a problem. When I start trading, I undone another Betfair account in the wife's name. So I put the trading bank completely different to my fixed betting.
Yeah.
Because I've set the money up and I'll take half my month's profit out to give the wife to go shopping. Because I've got no income, she works 20 hours a week. I can't rely on her to do everything. So I've got half of my profit each month builds my bank up.
Yeah.
Half I'll give her.
Brilliant.
For a bit of shopping to help life a bit easier for living. Because I'm living off savings and I don't want the savings to disappear overnight.
Yeah, brilliant. That's just fantastic. Absolutely, absolutely fantastic. I'm loving it. Brilliant. So where do you, how old are you now? Sorry, not being...
Mate, I've only just turned 60.
You've just turned 60. So in effect, you'd like to have sort of a good plan for 5-6 years and build this up and get some good money. And the one thing with this, once you do that, you know, it's like me. I always sort of said, oh, I'll get the 50 and stop. And then you think, well, why would you stop? And then I'll go. And then I say, you know, and I've sort of said, I'll definitely go till I'm 56, 57, 58, who knows? And then you'll decide then. But once you actually got that skill, you can do it forevermore, really. As long as your grey matter stays on the ball and you stick to the same processes and routines. And that for me is a lot of it becomes routine. Like you say, you get it Friday, you do that. Once you get it into a routine, if that's what you do, you can do it forevermore. This is brilliant.
Yeah. So I'm only trading one sort of bet. It's exactly the same bet. I've got others in the pipeline, which are paper trade, which I'm waiting until I've doubled my bank on this after the wife shop. Once I've doubled my bank, then I'm going to start my next paper trade one off exactly the same.
Yeah, so what,
instead of increasing my stakes too high and go too big, I've got another system.
A little portfolio systems.
Yeah, my other system actually is going a lot better than this one, paper trading, but I'm still sticking with what I planned. The plan was to do this one till I double my bank and then start that one. And that's what I'm going to stick to.
And what can we ask? It's lay the draw, is it, that you're doing?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is lay the draw. And I don't cash up at any nil-nils. I've got a certain criteria, what I go in at. I've got when I want to get out, no matter what.
And you're not going in at the start of the match. You're letting the match kick off and then.
No, well, what I do, I stagger it in two bits.
Right.
I do a maximum liability on the draw. I put some on at the start.
Yeah.
And then a certain amount into the game at a certain time when it hits that certain price what I want.
Yeah.
And that's what I do.
Right. Okay. Brilliant. That's absolutely. I mean, that's exactly it. It's, you know, one of the things I have said on the pod, I did that for 3 years and nothing else. And I think there's a great you know, it comes down, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, FOMO, boredom, whatever it may be. There's too much where people just go off and start doing something else and do something else and do something else and do that and do that and do that. I think to listen to somebody like you, again, normal guy, normal punter, I just do one thing. I just sit and do one thing, and I'm going to stick to do that one thing till I've doubled my bank. And the fact that you know you've got something to the side that is actually performing better, and you're still just sitting there leaving it, that's exactly the sort of discipline that people need. Because that's exactly what I do. I have loads of stuff, but I have a load of stuff on test. So I want to look at that, and I want to look at that, and I want to look at that. And I just sit there letting it test. And some of it, I sit on a Saturday, and I might have lost. And I'll sit there and go, Christ almighty, you know, I'll go back that week that I've done 37 points. I mean, that's lost 37 points, but that might have won 20. And I sit there and go, oh, I'm no normal bloke. Oh, I wish I'd been on them. But they're for later. They're for down the road. They're for, I haven't got enough testing and data to say I want to put that live. But people dive in and then they'll lose 10 points and think, I'll stop that. I'll do something else. I'll stop that and I'll do something else. And you just end up in a mess.
Yeah. So years ago, I did use to duck and dive a lot.
Yeah.
It's only since 2018, I have stuck with my system. But where I've done my fixed betting, you know, I never used to bother checking my systems at the end of the season. I just roughly knew I'd lost money and that. I didn't go to refine them.
Yeah.
But since I spoke November, I've sort of looked at them, done some. I've got a lot more refining to do. I've still got one or two systems that's costing me a lot of points. So, but I wanted to go to the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to try and trim the bits down. Because I'm Power Builder, you've got the actual information well for the builder bit where you can see all the breakdowns and everything.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Honestly, Gary, brilliant. I mean, I think your approach and your attitude to life in general overall, I think is just genuinely fantastic. It's...
Well, hopefully others can learn from this, Ian, because like I said before, until you've nearly lost your life, obviously there's a few people also on FTS that's had health problems and everything. But, you know, I ended up nearly three weeks in hospital. I've been packed, well, I've had the heart up, been given a clean bill of health now. You know, one more. So I really wanted, when I said for helping people on the pod, you know, you get all the people, all the winners you hear about, but all the ones that struggled and that you don't hear about. That's why I wanted to come on here.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, there's loads like me. And if they just put the time in, like I said, on a Saturday here, I'm here 8 hours at my computer. You know, you've trained, you've done it all your time. I've not been used to that.
Yeah.
But the wife's quite happy because I'm giving her a bit of shopping money out of my profit. So, I'm keeping her happy.
Yeah.
By giving her a bit of the profit that she hasn't got to work much.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly it. And you know, what you said there about you hear about the winners, you know, social media and thing has taken off since I started all this over the last 10 years, exploded. Gambling social media exploded. And I understand it. And I made my views on it known, but I understand it's part of life now. But that's exactly it. It is that. If you are a struggling punter and all you see on social media and things is, oh, I'm brilliant at this and I win and this, that and the other, and you start to think then that it's you, where actually I would say 95% of the people I deal with are going through the exact journey you've gone without getting to the end bit.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. It's now, can we get people to that end bit? And what do you need to do to get to that end bit? And, you know, you just saying like the pods and that, I've made an effort now that will get them in order. So I restarted again a couple of weeks ago, but actually to have them, rather than somebody saying, oh, when did Ian talk about that? We'll have a library of them so people can go. Because I do think they're invaluable. It's only from my own experiences. And I have bad times, good times, you know, we're all going to go through it. But I think getting that structure and then getting people through it. But ultimately, as you say, you've got to sit down on your own and say, I am going to do this properly. And what does that entail for me? Not what does it entail for Ian or what does it entail for Gary? What does that entail for me? Is it trading? Is it fixed odds? Is it football? Is it horses? Whatever it's going to be. And set yourself out and then stick to it and give it time to work. That's the biggest thing. You're giving it time to work. You've got a set thing. I'm going to go to the end of the season. You know, you've got some losing systems, but you're going to go to the end of the season, see what you could do better. And as long as you keep striving to improve, the rest of it can tends to take care of itself.
See, on the ultimate, obviously, we've got the 9 databases. I'm only using 4.
Yeah.
I'm still only using 4. I'm nowhere near.
Yeah. No, and that was
the capacity of where I could be.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of my concerns when we went to 9. I always wanted to get the goals, markets, and things in. But one of my concerns, you know, obviously the summer before we had COVID, and I would have probably done 2 and then another 2. But because we missed that, you know, the season finished and started straight away. I didn't have any time in between the 2 seasons. So obviously I had that break last summer to look at it and go. And I thought, you know, they're adults. We're adult people. I will put everything out there. But if you are diving in trying to use 9 databases, you're mental. You're an absolute fool. But everything is there then that I'm not going to add another 2 now. That's it. You know, we might add some form to Poisson. There might be little tweaks, but those 9 databases will stay as the core for pretty much evermore. You know, I hope that we find a way that we can keep it going after I stop, that somebody could take that on to keep it going. So in effect, everybody's got everything they need, but you'd use it at your own pace. You don't need to open 9 databases. You know, some of the guys I know are really good, only use 2 or 3 still. They use the Poisson and the main and the ultimate and don't look at the other stuff. But much like you, they've got a plan to down the line.
Yeah.
But I think if you're, that might, it was a concern of mine because I thought you can see somebody using the main database, having a couple of losing weeks. Oh, that's shit. I'll use the goals one. I'll use the Poisson one. So it is always in my mind. And that's getting the balance of how do you release this stuff and educate people to use it? But it still always comes down to the one guy, the individual on the end, and to listen to somebody like you. And I'll be honest, I don't speak to enough people like you. I don't speak to enough proper punters. I speak to a circle of people that I'm quite close to, but I don't speak to enough people like you who are going through that journey. I perhaps don't appreciate some of the struggles that people have had or do have. And it's fantastic to listen to.
Yeah, the idea is really also for people who are like me to not be ashamed that they're struggling on doing it, because I've proved here that with the tools you've given us, what we purchased with Ultimate, there's enough there to make some money. It's just a matter of getting your mind focused. Getting your bank set right is very important.
Yeah.
Which I find, like I said, since I've been out of work, I've got my trading bank, like I said. I don't deviate from it. And I think my returns are about 33% on my trading.
Brilliant.
Profit-wise to my bets. I'm happy with that.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I don't know what a percentage trade is, but I've worked all my percentage out. I'm happy on average. I get a 33% profit on my trading. The wife gets some money out of it, like I said, so it keeps her happy. Because I have had to get her to midweek, because I do play bowls. Now I'm 60 and getting old.
Oh, what? What lawn bowls?
Yeah, I play outdoor and indoor bowls, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I took it up about 5-6 years ago. So I do that. So obviously, I play on a Tuesday night. So obviously, there's football on a Tuesday night. And I have had a couple of games qualify. So what I've done, I've got the wife to sort of trade them ones for me. I set the criteria up, but she doesn't exit the criteria. I use the Betfair for the profit and just get her to use the green button for the profit. So right. At least it's a winning bet, even if it's not the full amount what I would have got, sort of thing. So at least I don't lose the ones that clash with my bowls. So I can still go off, play my bowls, and the wife will do that on the odd game that clashes, which is quite handy for me now.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's, you know, something I've said on the pod, involving your partners, having these conversations. I think it all helps. I think to have your wife on board, you know, like you say, you're giving up your time on a Saturday, but she understands that that actually leads to cash at the end of the day. you know, and I think if you're giving all that time up and there's nothing to show for it, oh, why'd you spend so long sat at the computer? What's all that about? You're wasting your time. And that's the sort of conversations that people have. Gary, I'm so pleased for you. One, I'm pleased to see you fit and healthy. You know, obviously when you sent me that email, I thought, flipping deary me.
Yeah.
And you were going in having your op and that. So to see you fit and healthy sat in the sunshine there is absolutely fantastic. To hear the progress you've made, you know, we shared that email and then we just sort of said, yeah, we'll do a pod sometime. To hear the progress you've made in that 3-4 months, which seemed to have flown by, to be fair, is absolutely, I'm just so pleased for you. I'm going to come up and meet you for a beer.
Well, we can meet whenever.
I suppose with your heart, though, you must be like an apple juice man or something, are you now?
No, I am allowed to drink. I've always declared, but I do have to go a bit careful.
Yeah. Red wine, isn't it? It's good for the ticker.
Yeah. I always used to drink plenty. Obviously, working in a bar and restaurant, that might have caused half my problems to start with. But there are. That's one of them things.
Brilliant. Right, Garrett, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you ever so much for coming on. I do genuinely think, I think this, you know, people rate these pods, and obviously you speak to people like Peter Webb and Andy and that, who are fantastic professional punters, do things well. But I think for the average punter to listen to somebody like you, there's so much to take out of it. Really, really appreciate you coming on. I mean, I had no idea what we were going to talk about. I think it's absolutely brilliant that you've come on. And I think anybody listening to this, having heard Gary's story, if you then want to try and follow that path, do contact me. And, you know, I can speak to Gary more in depth off this and talk about how he's done things and pass that on. But we can set things up and help you get set up to do the same. But ultimately, it comes down to listen to one guy who, yes, he had a heart issue that made him focus. But since he has applied that focus, he's turned his punting round. And I see, one, I want to help him now, because I love helping people who want to do that. And two, I see nothing but good roads for him. And if people can take that and apply that focus, I think you'll be on the right path. Absolute pleasure, Gary. Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you ever so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
That's all right.
And I'll speak to you soon. I'll jump back on for a chat with you in a minute.
Yeah. Cheers.
Okay. Thank you. Cheers, then. Thank you. Bye. Bye. Cheers.